Our scripture today is Psalm 149, just the first three verses. And for those who want to follow in your pew Bible, that's page 824. But it's very, very short. Again, page 824. Praise the Lord and sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. Back in 1970, I was not a Christian or even a believer in God. I was really an agnostic, but very much a seeker. One day at that time, I found myself in line at the co-op supermarket behind a member of Krishna Consciousness. Well, I had often seen this group, religious group, singing and dancing in the streets, and I was curious. So I seized the opportunity and I asked him, "What is the basis of your faith?" He was quite friendly and said, "You find in Berkeley many people seeking their spiritual leading. They look for arcane knowledge, compelling revelation, truth and proof. We have given up on all that and given over our lives to dancing our praise on God's stage." There are many religions that incorporate dance in their worship or even make dance their central form of worship. As you've heard from the scripture reading, ours was once one of them, but oddly, no more. Some observers say that's because dance is not present or condoned in the New Testament. That's not actually true. However, references to dance in the New Testament are peripheral and rare, and in fact, the most direct story regarding dance is the dance of Herod's daughter, for which she demands the death of John the Baptist. So it's not a very good record of testimony of dance in the New Testament. That's true. Nevertheless, from Hebrew chant, Gregorian chant, and early polyphonic masses of composers like Josquin des Prez, of sacred song, music has been a central part of our liturgy. In fact, from Handel to contemporary gospel, the music of the church has driven the development of every fundamental form of Western music that we use today. In fact, those forms are so prevalent that even though you may not know it, they are most definitely very present in the music of the Sex Pistols, Rage Against the Machine, Nine Inch Nails, hip-hop, and gangsta rap. They all incorporate those forms that were developed by the church over history. We think of music primarily as melody and its handmade in harmony. Yet music is really much more than that. It is breath and beat, melody and rhythm, song and dance. In fact, my personal definition of music is the aesthetic division of time. That's to say, I understand music as ultimately and fundamentally only rhythm. That may sound strange, but consider this. The center of the Western pitch system is the note A440. Well, what is that 440? Well, 440 is the number of compressions of air per second that we perceive as the musical note A. So you see, at the foundation, each note is actually a rhythmic structure. And it's a quirk of our physiology as human beings that from rhythms from about 20 beats per minute to 20,000, for those who hear really well, we hear them as pitches. And some animals like cats and so forth hear pitches much higher than that. So whereas the rhythm we hear is, we consider that rhythm. If it goes a bit faster, we hear a buzz, and it goes a bit faster, we hear a pitch. So why then has dance, which is the overt art form of rhythm, lost its place in our liturgy? And particularly, why has it been so scorned in Quaker circles? Let's look at the Catholic Church first, since it is central to in our musical and liturgical history. The Council of Laodicea in 363 AD forbade Christians to join in wedding dances. The Third Council of Toledo, 589 AD, condemned dancing at commemorations on the eve of saints' feast days and repeated warnings for Catholics to avoid participating at weddings where love was the subject of songs or dances. The Council of Trio in 692 AD excommunicated any laymen who participated in theatrical dancing and deposed any clerks who did so. The church went on through the centuries to ban many individual dances, including the tango, the waltz, the samba, and the sarabande. In 1975, the Vatican Congregation for the Sacraments and Divine Way issued a statement, Dance in Liturgy, which it declared to be treated as the authoritative point of reference for every discussion on this subject. The document noted that although there are cultures in which dance retains religious character and could be permitted in the liturgy, the same criterion and judgment cannot be applied to Western culture. Here, dancing is tied to love, with diversion, with profaneness, and with unbridling the senses. For that reason, it cannot be introduced into liturgical celebrations of any kind whatsoever. That would be to inject into liturgy one of the most desacralized and desacralizing elements. And so it would be equivalent to creating an atmosphere of profaneness, which would easily recall to those present and to those participants in the celebration worldly places and situations. The document went on to note, neither can acceptance be had of the proposal to introduce into liturgy the so-called aesthetic artistic ballet, because there would be a presentation here also of a spectacle at which only one would assist, while the liturgy, one of the norms from which one cannot prescind, is that of participation by all. This remains the rule in the Catholic Church today. In 1994, the same Vatican Congregation ruled, among some people, singing is instinctively accompanied by hand clapping, rhythmic swaying, and dance movements on the part of the participants. Such forms of external expression can have a place in liturgical actions if those peoples, on condition that they are always expression of a true communal prayer, adoration, and praise, offering and supplication, and not simply a performance. So in this last, somewhat restrained context, some limited forms of dance are allowed. I don't think we can easily dismiss or brush aside clapping and swaying to the music as not being dance, at least in some simple form. That brings us to the Quaker abhorrence of dance. As time went on from the early 1660s, the Friends became to focus more and more on their attention on avoiding the affairs of the world. They seemed to believe, like the Puritans before them, that moving further and further from the world ushered into God's presence by a process of elimination. Not surprisingly, drunkenness, gambling, and displays of wealth were rejected as worldly pursuits. Sadly, Friends also rejected music. Fiddling was the worst musical offense since it was so intimately linked to dancing. Right from the beginning, the fate of dance in Philadelphia was in jeopardy. The city's formidable Quaker population saw theater, music, and dance as frivolous, dissipated, and immoral. As early as 1695, they submitted a petition to the governor and the Pennsylvania Assembly that, quote, fiddling, dancing, gaming, and what else may tend to debauch the inhabitants and to blemish Christianity and dishonor the holy name of God may be curbed and restrained both at fairs and all other times. The petition was in vain. And at their yearly meeting in 1696 and 1705 and again in 1716, Friends had to admonish their members against dancing, gaming, and music. William Penn's original charter provided for the formation of a committee on manners, education, and arts, that, quote, all wicked and scandalous living may be prevented. At first, Quaker doctrine and discipline prevailed, but as the 18th century progressed, the Society of Friends gradually became less and less a dominant force in Philadelphia, and they found it difficult to hold others to their strict standards of piety and virtue. By 1706, Quakers were complaining of dancing and a fencing school being tolerated. in the city. I don't think we can take the concerns of the Catholic Church or those Quakers lightly. Their perception of the problems of dance are certainly grounded in their experience. However, it doesn't have to be that way. One thing I learned with my encounters with Judaism is that they took look upon Christian asceticism with great skepticism. From their perspective, to be an ascetic is to deny the gift of the beauty of the creation from God. It is something of an insult to God. And so we see dance, the celebration of life, deeply embraced by Jewish culture and often a part of Jewish worship and celebration of the Sabbath. If one goes to a place like Ashkenaz and joins in one of the ethnic dances there, you will find a completely different experience from the dissipation feared by our Western religions. Whether the dance is Balkan, Greek, Israeli, salsa, Zydeco, and Cajun, you'll enter into a family fair that is a whole culture. These dances have a history, a language, cuisine, and most importantly, a community. They are both wholesome and very good for your physical health. In fact, I went to a Greek dance there one time, and because I didn't know the dances, I participated in the pre-dance lesson, which blended very quickly and seamlessly into a dance. They showed us the step about twice, slowly, and then we were linked arms up to speed, which was very fast. I was linked to these two women. I said, I'm not sure I can do this, and they said, don't worry, just don't commit with your feet. We'll drag you along. It was a very friendly and welcoming community, and I was breathless by the end of it. Let me be clear here. I am in no way proposing that we start incorporating dance into our worship here at Berkeley Friends Church. Each person has their own way of engaging with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. For me, that happens to be in our open worship. I would find dance in this context to be jarring and disruptive to my ability to worship. Still, in my personal life, I have found nothing as physically helpful or quite so spiritually uplifting as dance. In fact, when I first met my wife, Tina, I was holding her in my arms as my assigned partner in a dance class. On the day my daughter, Sophia, was to be born, it was clear she was going to be overdue. So Tina and I went Zydeco dancing. Sophia went on from being an in utero dancer to being a serious student of flamenco from ages 3 to 17 and added a number of years of ballet on top of that. Our daughter Tessa seemed to reject dance and her any interest in it as a child, and we didn't push her on it. But in seventh grade, she was very excited and insisted on attending her first school dance. We were very surprised. We were even more astonished when she came home from that dance with first prize as best dancer that night. And that was not the last time she won that prize. I asked her how she won that prize, and she said to me, I brought it on. So dance has been a central and uplifting part of our family life, and I really want to address the concept of dissipation in the context of these wonderful ethnic communities that have dance so much as a central part. Drinking is not a central part. And in fact, I took a dance class once where the dance teachers said, don't drink and dance. It's the law. Nobody wants a sodden partner hanging on them while you're trying to dance. And once at a dance at the Claremont Hotel, Billy, the accordion player for Motor Dude Zydeco, admonished the dancers saying, you've got to order drinks. There's no cover charge here. If you don't order drinks, they don't make money, and we will not be invited back. And he said that because he knew full well that dancers were not drinkers. So that's really how things go in those cultures and those venues. And they are so fun. I could tell you 1,000 fun and uplifting things that happened in my time in my encounters with a number of those cultures, both salsa and Zydeco and Greek. To close, I want to quote a small part of a country song composed by Mark Sanders and Tia Sillers and sung by Leanne Womack. In the video version of this song, it appears to be a mother giving her last advice, her dying advice, to her very young daughters. And here's what she says. I hope you'll feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you will give faith a fighting chance. And if you get the choice to sit one out or dance, dance.